Tech Talk with Jeff Quattromani.
Okay, Jeff Quattromani there. Bree, come in and go on mic one. We'll see if this works. Hello, Jeff, how are you?
I'm really well. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, Jeff. I wanted to start, if we may, with if you've ever had a song stuck in your head but don't know the name of it, you can now search Google through Humming Info. Is this right?
It is, and it's quite unbelievable, actually, that if you are, you know, maybe you hear a song in the car or maybe you hear a song on TV and you get this thing stuck in your head, and you don't know what it's actually called, you can now hum to Google. And I opened the Google search app on my phone just before this call and was humming That's Freedom by John Farnham, and sure enough, it picked it up pretty correctly. And
okay. I mean,
if my humming can do it, then I guess it works for anybody.
We're going to test this live in the studio now. Bree has joined me. Hello, Bree.
Hello.
And we're going to test this live. Have I got the mic on? Mic one? Yes, I have. So, Bree has got the app on her phone. What song have you decided you're going to hum?
We'll do Let It Be.
Let It Be?
Yep.
Okay. Are you ready?
Let's go.
Here we go. Any luck?
No, can't find a match.
Can't find a match.
Ooh.
Hang on, it come up. It come up. We've got Let It Be.
It did come up.
It did, just took a little while.
Oh, really?
It came up with Let It Be. Now, Bree, no disrespect meant to you, but I wouldn't have had a clue what
it
you were
humming.
It
wasn't a real good hum, was it?
It was not a real good hum. No, it was not a good hum at all.
But it got it.
But it worked.
Fantastic. There you go. I mean, there's the evidence. I mean, when I did it, I felt like I had to do it for about 15 seconds before it just showed me the result.
Okay, we'll try another one.
That's pretty good.
Here we go. Will we try the Knack? We talked about the Knack before. Here we go. Bree's now going to hum the Knack, My Sharona.
It worked.
It worked. You're kidding.
And it picked me up.
There you go.
That's amazing. That is a whole new form of karaoke now.
Hum a song. Pick a song. It's not charades. It's humming music charades. There you go.
Yeah, look, it's a new feature that Google's decided to roll out, and obviously it's available now as everyone's experiencing, but there you go.
Thank you, Bree. Bree is now leaving the studio. The humming champion of the building. There you go, it works, I'll be blowed. So, did you have anything else to tell us about this wonderful new thing by Google?
Look, I mean, Google announced a whole bunch of other things around improvements to their search, but this team seems to be the most interesting one. I think the other interesting fact they announced was that 10% of our searches are spelled incorrectly. And one of the things that they're doing is working on that to understand words before and after that spelling mistake to try and even understand even worse spelling as we start to completely confuse Google. But that humming one just was the top of the charts for me.
Hey, Bree, I wonder if they would pick up anything of this from the Sound of Music. Maybe we could do the Sound of Music. Bring your phone in. We'll see if we can do the Sound of Music. Here we go. We're going to do the Sound of Music. Shall we do... We'll do that one. Are you ready?
It got it.
Love it.
24% match to Julie Andrews one, might I add.
There you go.
Well done.
Hey, we could do this all afternoon. Thanks, Jeff. It's been great talking to you today. Good on you, Bree. It works, mate.
Amazing. Amazing. I'm glad it did work for you guys because it's been good for me too. And my success is a lot less. It's usually 20% match, but it does get some similarities.
There you go. What'll they think of next?
I don't know. Wait for Google to come up with it.
Yeah, it'll be... Now, I notice it's only available on your phone. It's not available on an iPad.
Yeah, so unless you download the Google Search app, that's one of the best ways to do it. If you don't have it on your iPad, look for the Google app in the App Store and you can try it on your iPad there.
Okay.
But otherwise, I can't see it available on desktop yet. So I think when you go into google.com on your computer, I think you can't hum into your computer just yet.
I suppose one of the things about being in this industry for such a long period of time is I know most of the songs.
Well, I was trying to pick that one then with the Doe Deer, but...
Doe, a deer, a female. We could do Climb Every Mountain. We won't. Okay, Ecovax. You must have a thing about Ecovax. We were watching telly yesterday, my wife and I.
Yeah.
And up came an advertisement for the Husqvarna mower.
Yes.
The robot mower.
Yes.
And they seem to have so many different models of this damn thing. I said to my wife, can you imagine it now? There's a robot to mow your blooming lawn. And she said, well, there's been a robot for years to vacuum your house. And you've got another one. It's an Ecovac that empties itself.
I think this is the part to talk about. I mean, we've spoken about robot vacuums before, but now we have one that, goes around the house, does all the mopping and all the vacuuming. But when it returns back to its charging station, the actual charging station now has a big bin inside it, which sucks all of the contents out of the vacuum and stores it in its own bin. So effectively, you can get around 30 different, sucks out of the vacuum before it's full. Then you can worry about emptying the vacuum only once a month, potentially. So
how big is the bin that the rubbish goes into from the vacuum cleaner?
It's a few litres. So the actual vacuum itself holds about 500 grams. Right. In terms of capacity,
right.
Whereas the actual big bin is about 2 liters, two to 3 liters in size. It's quite large, and that's one of the great things is once it parks, you actually hear the docking station fire up, and it sounds like a very loud vacuum that takes all the contents out and stores it in its own box. So once it does that, if it hasn't finished vacuuming the house, the vacuum can then continue on its journey and go back to where it left off. But it's one of those great things. I don't have to worry about taking out that tiny little bin because it is a very small thing inside those robot vacs.
And so how big is this bin that, I mean, how big is the unit? Where would you store it? In the laundry or something like that out of the way?
Yeah, look, I honestly think the laundry is one of the best spots to store these. I've actually got mine in my office next to me at the moment. And it's great because it's out of the way. We used to keep one in the kitchen and it just used to be a bit of an eyesore. I mean, not many people keep a vacuum in their kitchen, for example, and with this extra station on its own, it's quite tall, so you don't want it where you can really see it. The laundry is a great space, but just be careful about the step into the laundry. A lot of homes have a 2 to 3 centimeter step into their laundry.
True.
The robot vacuum can't get up those size steps, so you have to be careful where you place it.
Can this robot vacuum cleaner do all types of floors, tiled, timber, rugs, carpet?
Yes, it can. So one of the things I've got in this house, I've got a really thick pile rug in my lounge room. Otherwise, it's hardwood floors everywhere else, and then carpets in the bedroom. It actually senses the type of floor that it's cleaning and adjusts suction. But the mopping part on the back of the vacuum also turns on and off or raises itself off the ground, depending on what it's driving over as well. So it doesn't mop your carpets; it only mops your hardwood floors very lightly, and then, you know, suction increases for carpets and rugs. It's pretty impressive.
So does it vacuum the hardwood floor before it mops it?
Yeah, so the vacuum itself has a unit at the front which has the brush which does all the vacuuming, and the back of the unit is where the mopping part is. So essentially it's vacuuming right before it starts to mop, so it's not going to get things backwards.
And so will it vacuum and mop tiles in the bathroom as well?
Provided it can get into the bathroom, absolutely. With me, my bathroom step is a bit too high and the unit can't get into the bathroom. But, yeah, especially if you've got a home where it's all level, it means it can get straight into there.
And how much area will it vacuum before it needs to go back to be charged?
It goes around for about 120 minutes. So almost 2 hours of charge in the units these days. They are getting a lot better. 2 hours is quite impressive now, but... You know, if my house, for example, it will do, it's a four-bedroom home with two bathrooms. It easily gets around the whole house in a single charge without returning. But if it does need to go back and recharge and even to empty, it knows where it left off. So once it's ready to go again, it will just keep going. So you won't actually come home with a house half clean. It'll finish the job.
And do you set the time when you want it to vacuum between, if you're away from the house, between 9 and 5? It'll do it between 9 and 5 so it doesn't annoy you when you get home?
Yeah, absolutely. I actually do both. So I usually have it on a schedule to go after the morning, so after the morning rush of everyone having their breakfast and things like that, have it go and clean the living areas. But then I also use it after dinner. So I'll actually just tell my smart home, you know, whether it's Google or Alexa, to ask the vacuum to come and clean the kitchen. Because if I've finished, you know, cooking and things like that, I just want the vacuum to go in there and focus on that one area. And you just talk to a speaker and out comes your vacuum to do the job.
So you literally say, Alexa, vacuum the kitchen, and out it goes.
Yeah, you do. And that's one of the cool things is once these units map out the whole house, you end up with this floor plan on your phone where you can start to label the rooms and say, well, that's the kitchen, that's the living room. And once you've done that, then you can really start to talk to it in a natural language like your smart speakers and ask Alexa to ask the vacuum to, you know, vacuum the kitchen.
Okay, so we've heard all the pros. What are the cons?
Well, realistically, it's price, to be honest. I think, you know, when you're coming into the market to buy a new vacuum, spending over $1,000 seems a bit expensive. And, you know, in this case, we were looking at, you know, around $999 for this unit plus the bin, or the big bin, I should call it. So you're looking at about $1,000, whereas, you know, if you want to go buy a handheld Dyson, you can spend less than that, but you can also spend more than that.
But you've got to empty it yourself.
You do, you do. And honestly, the convenience of this is great. I think the only other con that I'll say is because it's a round unit, it doesn't have a vacuum head like we see on a normal vacuum, which is more rectangular. So this can't get into the corners as precisely as a typical vacuum can. So that's probably the only other thing I'll add.
And have you had to vacuum the house yourself whilst you've been using this vac?
The bathrooms and laundry areas, absolutely, because if it can't get in there, it's a bit of a problem.
But if it can get in there, you wouldn't have to.
No, that's right. The other thing that's worth noting here is that it's actually getting underneath areas that I don't normally get to. So we have a king-size bed in the bedroom. This vacuum can fit underneath it, so it actually vacuums areas where I don't think I've been before.
Yeah, sure.
And that's also handy too.
Great idea. So it's about $1,000.
Yeah, about $1,000. Look, you will find models that start from $400 upwards, but depending on the features such as mopping or mapping out the house the way it does, you do need to spend more money.
Is there a guarantee if it doesn't work, they'll take it back?
Well, I'd honestly say it's the same sort of level of consumer protection with anything, that if you're not happy with the product within a couple of weeks or a month, take it back and you should expect a full refund.
Amazing. Okay, we talked Apple last week when they launched the phones. Have you learned anything else?
No, not really. I mean, they're available on pre-order if you really want one. Otherwise, I'm hoping to get my hands on one at some point to tell you what it's like. But it's a very similar iPhone to the 11, but with 5G.
Those who are performing business from home due to the pandemic will be excited by the news that Zoom is adding the ability for you to charge or sell tickets to your online event. What's this mean?
So this is quite interesting. I've been attending a ton of Zoom calls lately. Yeah. It's pretty much my day-to-day occurrence. But what I'm noticing is that there's a lot of personal trainers and a lot of small businesses that are trying to work out ways to work virtually. And even when we were in lockdown in New South Wales, I was doing personal training classes over Zoom, but we had to pay for it separately. There had to be another mechanism around it to do it. But now Zoom is allowing you to effectively hold your own classes, whether it's tutorials, personal training and things like that, all within Zoom. So you can almost expect soon that we're going to find people offering these services through Zoom, where you buy a ticket or you book a session and you pay all through the platform. I think Zoom is going to become something much more than just meetings very soon.
And last but not least, Apple might have one more thing to share before the year is over. Now, you say they're just starting to look disorganized. What do you mean by that?
Look, for me, to have so many events a couple of weeks apart says that they're in a bit of a panic. And the fact that some of the products that they announced even a month ago are still yet to come to market, the iPhone is while it's all been announced, is being staggeredly released, in that up until the end of November is when you'll be able to receive the iPhone mini, for example. We're now hearing that there might actually be another announcement, meaning they may have more products that they didn't think they could potentially ship this year, but now they might be able to. It's just a worry that it seems like they have all these events, nothing's available on the day they announce it like they used to be, and then 2 weeks later we hear of another event where there might be even more things to talk about. It's just a bit strange from Apple.
Bit weird. That's us done and dusted, Jeff. Thank you for having a bit of fun with us with this Google thing.
My pleasure. I think it's the exciting news.
It is, isn't it? We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks, Jeff. Bye-bye, mate. Jeff Quattromani will put his podcast up on the website. If you want to have a bit of fun with the humming thing, you can find out all the information on our website, and you go to 2hd.com.au, and any of the interviews we do of an afternoon here are available as a podcast if you want to listen.